My name is Barnacle Bill, and I'm going to tell you some stories. One time I was on a boat, and a big shark came over and tipped it over. Well, I'll tell you what, I swam over to that shark, I gave him a little swat on the nose, I took my belt off, I wrapped it around his mouth, and I jumped on top, and I said, "Get on there, shark, take me to shore," and I just rode that shark all the way to shore. Then another time, we were in a storm, and I was on a big ship, and that ship tossed and turned and knocked me off right into the water. And that was on that big ship was going to be coming down. It looks like it's going to be capsized. But I put my arms up and I pushed it back and I jumped back in the boat and we were fine. Today we're going to talk about hypocrites. Now who am I? Am I Barnacle Bill? No, who am I?
Mr. John.
That's right. I am Mr. John. I am not Mr. Barnacle Bill. Although I was in the Navy, those things never happened. Do you know what a hypocrite is? It's kind of a big word, isn't it? I didn't know what a hypocrite was until, like, I was way older than you guys. But this is a hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who pretends to be something they are not. Matter of fact, one of the definitions of hypocrite is somebody who play acts, who's an actor. I was pretending to be Barnacle Bill. I was being an actor. And then I was telling you stories that weren't even true. A hypocrite is someone who is play acting, who is, as it says here in my little handy notes, pretends to be somebody they are not. Now, before you go back to your seats, I just want you to think about that you're going to meet some people someday. You may even meet people in this very church that are pretending to be someone that they're really not. But my encouragement to you, young people, is to not get discouraged when you see that. All right? All right. Now, the sermon's going to be more about hypocrites. We're going to go a little deeper into it, but I just wanted to give you a taste of it for the children's story. You can go back to your seats, and thank you.
Scripture reading, Psalms chapter 26. Verse 4, Psalms chapter 26, and we're going to go to verse 4. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. Lord, have blessing to his word. We don't have special music today, but someone...
Sometimes I get nervous with a children's story. I don't get nervous doing this. I get nervous with a children's story. And you guys are the easiest audience to please, too. You know that? Anyway, we're going to talk about hypocrisy. We're going to talk about hypocrites. Seven signs of a hypocrite. And in Psalm 26, 4 in the NIV, and what I like about the NIV may not be a word for word, but it does give you sort of like a flavor, even though it remains relatively accurate, a flavor of what they're trying to say. And in the NIV version, it says, "I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites." Interesting. What is a hypocrite? Have you ever been a hypocrite? What is a hypocrite? And I'll tell you something. 2,500 years ago, a certain Greek man criticized a man for running for political office. Do you want to know why he criticized this man for running for political office? Because the guy used to be an actor. And he says, this man makes this man unfit and untrustworthy for the job of being a politician. I know, we can all, yeah, I know. Well, no, this was 2,500 years ago. Not that what you're talking, I know what you're talking about, yeah. Yeah, there's been an awful lot of conflict within politics. But isn't it interesting that somebody who was trying to point something out, who was trying to be straightforward and virtuous, said that an actor would be a poor person for a politician because you won't know when they're play acting. You won't know when they're telling the truth.
Apparently that was important 2,500 years ago. Apparently 2,500 years ago, they knew the difference. And they knew that that wasn't a good idea. What exactly is a hypocrite? I know that I gave, you know, play acting as, it is one definition of it to the children. What is a hypocrite? It's a, go ahead. I think you're probably the only one who's going to listen to this sermon or the children's story. You're exactly right. Did you hear that? Pretending you're not, but what else? What else is a hypocrite? Oh, that person's a hypocrite. I got a few definitions here for you. A person who puts on a false appearance in virtue or religion. A person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs. I'm going to get to that. You're right. You must have read my sermon. The 1888 Webster's Dictionary, you know, it's very heavy with Christian idealism in it, you know? And so there's that filter that he uses when he defines words, which I find very, very interesting. And he says, one who has a form of godliness without the power, or who assumes an appearance of piety and virtue when he is destitute of true religion. Hold those two words in just a second. We're going to let Mrs. White chime in just a moment on what true religion is defined, at least in her words, okay? Concealing one's real character or motives. Hypocrisy is the state of promoting or administering virtues, moral, or religious beliefs and principles that one does not actually have and is also guilty of violating. Hypocrisy also involves the deception of others and thus can be considered a kind of lie. I don't think it's a kind of lie, Diane. It is a lie. A true dyed-in-the-wool, as the definition states what a hypocrite is a liar by the very nature of what they're doing and who they are. I remember my mother used to work for my uncle at a dentist office, and somebody was embezzling from my uncle. My mother was one of the ones that kept the books, and so she was privy to this information. I don't know if everyone was in the office, but obviously my mom was, because she was close to my uncle. She was doing the books, and there was something going on. Something had been going on for quite a while, I guess. The young girl who was guilty of this, before she was found out, said to my mother and someone else, "Oh, how could anyone do that to Richard? I would never do something like that to Richard." Can I ask you something? This is kind of, and I've never heard anybody of any authority say yes or no to this, but I've kind of thought about this because, you know, through the years, I've had weaknesses in certain areas. You know, I had a problem with alcohol. I really enjoyed it, you know, too much. And I gave it up almost 20 years ago. But I struggled with it, you know what I mean? And I hid it, you know, as much as I could. But I knew it was bad. And I knew that anyone who really did it, it was not good for them. And I was also going to church at a place that, you know, when I did come, that represents that alcohol is what? Not a part of Christian behavior. Now, I'm going to ask it about me, and it's okay to answer honestly. Was I a hypocrite? You think so? I've thought about that. I've thought about someone who struggles with something, who sees the virtue of not doing it, and is even excited about it, and is willing to share it with others that it is wrong to drink, and yet they drink. But let me throw another qualifier in there. But if you were to ask them if they drank, they would say, shamefully, yes, I do. Is that person a hypocrite? Yeah. I'm going to read something from the 1700s. This gentleman said, "Nothing is more unjust, however common, than to charge with hypocrisy him that expresses zeal for those virtues which he neglects to practice, since he may be sincerely convinced of the advantages of conquering his passions without having yet obtained a victory, as a man may be confident of the advantages of a voyage or a journey without having courage or the industry to undertake it, and may honestly recommend to others those attempts which he neglects himself." Thus, an alcoholic advocating temperance, for example, would not be considered an act of hypocrisy as long as the alcoholic made no pretense or constant or, you know, stating that he was sober. So that helps narrow down this definition of this word, hypocrisy. It's somebody who is what? Doing something that is usually of a virtue, okay, is doing or not doing it, but stating that others should do it, stating they do it, and then behind scenes what? Not doing it. Now, what gets even really trickier here is if you do it, I'm sorry, let's say you there's something that you should do, and you do it, and you criticize others for not doing it, but you're not doing it in the love and strength and power of God. Is that what Jesus was talking maybe a little bit about with the Pharisees? Now, the Pharisees, they were doing stuff behind the scenes. They had some misconceptions, whether they were aware of it or not. Jesus went so much further than just the mere externals. They were keeping the letter of the law in most of the people's eyes. I don't know what they were doing behind the scenes. Thou shalt not kill, right? Did they kill? No. Did they beat somebody near to the point of death if they had to, like a servant or something? Yep. Did they hate? Yep. But they were so religious, and they were regarded as with such esteem and respect in their culture. Interesting. Jesus says, we'll talk about the seven signs of a hypocrite. Jesus says in Matthew 6:2, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. So one of the characteristics or signs of a hypocrite is somebody that shows off. And that can be very, very subtly done too. You can be very what? We've heard this before. Proud of your humility and willing to announce it. There's a lot of philanthropy that goes on out there that's announced to the world. You know, Ted Turner. Who's the guy that owns Microsoft there? Bill Gates, $100 billion, you know. But a lot of people don't know the good old Ironside. Remember Ironside? What was his name? The guy who played Perry Mason? Raymond Burr. A lot of people don't know that there was a small little section in the newspaper when he died that said he was a philanthropist, and nobody knew it. Nobody knew it until after he died. He gave and he gave and he gave, and nobody knew it. That's cool. That's the way it should be done. A thank you for someone? Yes. But to have your name printed somewhere? Not necessarily. Matter of fact, most people who give substantially or have the gift of giving would do like a thank you, a heartfelt thank you, appreciation, but they do not want their name printed anywhere. Those who are professional givers, that is. They don't. Number two. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. So if you're going to suffer, don't suffer silently, loudly. Suffer silently with dignity. In Matthew 15, 6 through 8, it says, you hypocrites, this is Jesus talking. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. And the prophecy goes like this. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That's paying what? Lip service, which is without heart relationship. These are all characteristics of hypocrisy. Number four, Matthew 23:27. You hypocrites, You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and every unclean thing. So where's the change in a hypocrite? On the outside, if anything. And even hypocrites can be changed on the outside, and you're still a hypocrite if you're not changed where? Isn't that interesting? You can even maintain that standard and criticize others for not keeping it, and behind the scenes still keep that standard and still be a hypocrite, according to Jesus. What's that? Can somebody turn that off? Oh, okay. Thank you. Number five, Jesus says in Matthew 7:5, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Isn't that interesting that even being a hypocrite is involved in this process of chastising or disciplining or going to a brother who's done something wrong? That you can be a hypocrite without following this injunction first. And so you're quick to judge others without self-reflection. You know what Mrs. White says when we see somebody fall, especially someone of importance, you know, a star or whatever within the church, somebody who you have an esteem for or an idea of what they should be about, and when they fall, she says that the first thing you should do is comment about it on Facebook. Go to them on Facebook and write something to them about how naughty they were. Call them up on the phone and yell at them. Go tell your neighbor what happened to this person. She says the first thing we should do is feel more self-distrust. Isn't that interesting? That'd be like the last thing on a menu of things that we usually, you know, oh, self-distrust, huh? That's supposed to, oh, self-distrust. I'm going to skip that one. I'm going to call my brother, sister, mother. Got to talk about this. Oh, imagine. Number six, Matthew 23:15. And by the way, in Matthew 23, there's seven woes to the hypocrite. Seven different woes to the hypocrite. Woe to you, teachers of the law. Who's he speaking of? That's right. Who's he speaking to today? Seventh-day Adventist Church, and maybe more so the leadership of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and then when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. So much for evangelism as a hypocrite, huh? So it makes life miserable for others at the very least. And at the very worst, you're tying a millstone around their neck and throwing them into the water. That's what you're basically doing. Number seven, woe to you. And this is Matthew 23:23. Here's one. These are the last two here, are the two of the seven woes. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You know who he's talking to. You hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spice, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law. And what are those, Jesus? Justice, mercy, faithfulness. I'm not familiar with what those, maybe even those definitions are, let alone, but I know how to tithe. I know how to tithe on my wheat and the money that I bring in, that I can do. And Jesus said, you should have practiced the latter, which is mercy and justice and faithfulness, without neglecting the former. Oh, so Jesus isn't throwing out the law. Of course not. No, he's not throwing out the standard at all. He's commending them. So what is true religion? If that's all hypocrisy, what's true religion? I'm going to do a little bit of reading, but I'm going to sum some stuff up so that I don't want you to blank out here. True religion brings man into harmony with the laws of God. Physical, mental, and moral. It teaches self-control, serenity, and temperance. Religion ennobles the mind, refines the taste, sanctifies the judgment. Faith in God's love and overruling providence lightens the burdens of anxiety and care. It fills the heart with joy and contentment. Joy and contentment. How many people would like to experience joy and contentment in 2013? In the highest or lowliest lot, whatever your lot in life is. Religion tends to promote health, to lengthen life, and to heighten our enjoyment in all, of all of its blessings. It opens a never-failing fountain of happiness. I want to sign up for this. No real joy can be found in the path forbidden by him who knows what is best. That's one definition of what true religion is. The sacrificial system was a stumbling block for those hypocrites. And the reason is they thought, well, I sin, I get to do what? Grab a lamb. Sin, grab a lamb. Sin, grab a lamb. And God says, enough of it. I'm sick to my stomach of you grabbing a lamb every time you sin. All right? He said, because if you don't go any more than just an outward kind of a Catholic approach, right? I was a Catholic. I know what that is. Go and say three Hail Marys, okay? Go out there and you do it all over again. There's no change. It's 40 years of stepping on somebody's toe and saying, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. After a while, it gets to be a little bit nauseous. And even in God's frame of reference, he gets a little bit nauseous over that. He says, what's important to him, he says, go ye and learn what this means. I will have mercy, not sacrifice. Meaning that when we look at the mercy of God, it does something to us and power wells up inside of us. We don't have to go and have a sacrifice every 15 minutes to appease an angry God or whatever it is that we think that he is. He wants us to eventually walk without having to sacrifice. That's where he's trying to get everybody. That's what it is. He taught that true religion does not consist in forms or ceremonies, outward attractions, or outward display. That's not what true religion is. The sum and substance of true religion is to own and continually acknowledge by words, listen to this, by dress, and by behavior, our relationship to God. So there is some external things, but where does it all begin? It begins inside. It's an internal thing. And I'm going to end with this. There are always those in the church and out who have not the love of Jesus in their souls and who have in the place of true religion, you ready? A criticizing, exacting spirit, a desire to find something to condemn in their brethren and sisters. Such ones grasp eagerly at this kind of labor, but they do more harm than good. Hear that? They do more harm than good at trying to correct the good with a spirit that isn't kind. So what that means is that they are part of that Twice as Sons of Hell group out there, club. Because internally, nothing has taken place yet to give them the right, really, to go out and do that. But even because they haven't had that experience, they still feel it's their hypocritical right to go out there and do something to somebody and get them to agree with them, agree with these ideas, start lengthening those dresses and everything, which is all well and good, but the problem is it's done with a wrong attitude, a wrong motive. And then if you're being mentored by somebody like that, then you're going to mentor someone else like that. And you know, in a family, that chain eventually has to get broken, or that attitude is passed on from father to son, from father to son. And it is a chain of hypocrisy and legalism and Phariseeism, and everyone is involved with it because nobody has seen in the petri dish anything other than that. See, that's the problem. We are being watched by our neighbor, by our spouse, by our children, by the public. Thank you. Father, thank you for life, and thank you for the air that we breathe and the ground we walk on. Thank you for everything that you've given us. I pray you'll just bless us as we go from here today. Enjoy each other's company on this Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen.